there and welcome. This is Michelle Marchant Johnson, and you are tuning in for Ready for the Right Guy 5. So happy to have you here at the beginning of this new year, and you are in for a treat today because I have the very lovely Helena Summer here to join us. Welcome, Helena.
Hi, Happy New Year.
So happy to have you here. I'm so excited about our conversation today. And before we get started, I know so many of the women here may be familiar with you and your work, but just in case they're not, just a little introduction before we get started. Helena Summer lived through a war and became a nun at 15, committing to a life of celibacy, simplicity, and poverty. I've always had a hard time wrapping my mind around how you do that. Her first romance was an arranged marriage to a former priest. Helena was married and divorced twice before her first date, drawing on her Croatian grandmother's wisdom. Oh, I know, that's good. And her own experience of living in two different worlds, Helena internationally shares the message of authentic love and organic attraction. So we're going to be talking, Helena, about being that one-of-a-kind woman today, which I know is going to be a really interesting and wonderful conversation. But before we dive into that, for those ladies that are listening, I think they'd love to hear just a little bit more of your story because you have such a unique and fascinating story. Just reading your bio, I'm like, she just has the most amazing story. And as I've told you before, you really must write a book about it because it's just so unique and fascinating. But tell us just a little bit more, if you will, before we jump in.
Yeah, there was war in Croatia. I was 15 years old and there was war in Croatia. And I was praying for peace because my twin sister and I were separated. My grandma's house was bombed. My brother was 19. He was on the front line. And my best friend, she died. So I just didn't understand the war. I didn't want a war. So listen to this. I was very clever. And I thought that Bible said, if your faith is the size of mustard seed, you can move the mountains. And I was like, oh, my faith is 2 mustard seeds. I can stop the war. And I couldn't. So I actually ended up as a refugee all by myself with other refugees, but none of my family. And in the refugee camp, and one night a baby died. Oh. And this is where I lost it. I was like, how do you let this happen? Whoever you are, I'm gonna find you and kick your butt. So I ran away from refugee camp to find God. So it's cold. It's like, you know, it's like, I don't have anything. I have no ID, no money, no clothes, no nothing. I mean, I have clothes on me, but no extra. And I'm asking everybody on the street, where is God? Where is God? Where is God? In the church, in the Bible, in your heart, everywhere, blah, blah. And then there are these 3 glowing women walking towards me. And I ask them, where is God? And they smile and they say, come with us. And they were nuns. That's how I became a nun. And that's that vow of celibacy, simplicity, and poverty. That's how it started. And I was really passionate. I really believed if I pray good enough, it will happen. The war will happen. I mean, the war will stop. But I prayed and the war couldn't. So what I realized is, I stop a lot of wars from our heads. I stop a lot of wars in our marriages. I stop a lot of wars on a dating battlefield, right? So that's the war we can stop. And that's what got me this, like, we have so much power, but not magical thinking. Deep power. So sometimes women go on dates, or they don't even go on a date. They just sit at home. If it's meant to be, it will happen. And it's not going to just happen like that. I really believe I can stop the war. I was convinced 100% I can do it. But that's a different world, different wars and bankers' wars. And you know how all this works, right? politically and stuff. What actually we have as women, it's our realm, it's our control, our region is the region of love and heart. And as we open it, we create magic. We stop our wars. I hated men, so that was a big war I stopped. I, with my little tiny heart like this big, I hated 4 billion people. That's a lot of hard work to do, to hate. With one heart, to hate half a population, right? So these are the wars we stop. This, and my becoming a nun, in a real world, it was in some way, but in this world, in the dating world, what we do is we take on certain vows. We take on certain values and we put them in our life, in our practice, so we can get our peace and our joy and our partnership, whatever we desire. That's how things work. Magical thinking doesn't work.
Right, right. Yeah, that was beautiful. That was fun to hear that. And thank you so much for sharing it. So I know one of the things that you talk about a lot in your work, and I know you've had events centered around this theme, is this idea of being this one-of-a-kind woman.
Yeah.
So first of all, if you would just kind of define that for us, like what does that really mean? I mean, it sounds pretty obvious, but I would like to hear like that deeper meaning or your definition of that, if you will.
When it comes to us and what we are looking for in a relationship when we date, you know how we often do, like, I want love, I want somebody to love me. Men are originally, to start with, not looking for love. They are not. They want it. We all, as human beings, we need animals. We all need love. But they are looking for excitement, for fun. They are looking for, you know, I become a macho with her. There is something about their self-expression that they are looking for. And based on that desire, they pre-qualify woman. Oh, she's a one-night stand. Oh, she's cute. I can use her for one-night stand, but I don't want to listen to her stories. Oh, the one-night stand was so good. I want to bang that few times, but I don't want to, like, my friends to see her or to introduce her to my family. Hell no. So these are the types based on what they want, right? You are either kind of in a category of cheap, easy to get, or a category to fun to have for a few weeks, or you are a nice girl. So you can be my girlfriend. I can introduce you to my family because you make me look good. You make me, you know, I like you and you, you know, I was an alcoholic and you are this sweet angel. So it kind of, people think good of me. Again, it's who I am, right? And she's holding the space. She's a space holder for one of a kind woman. One of a kind woman is that woman when a man is going to, no, I don't want to get married. I don't want to have children. I don't care. Oh, I don't know what you did to me. That's a woman who just shows up, and because men are looking for more of themselves. I get myself with one night stand, like, oh, I have a big, strong, working penis. Wow. Right? With this other one, we have some fun. I get to have fun. I get to look good with my family. Or I get to step up to the level of manliness that I never knew possible. That no man in my world, my father, grandfather, or any role model showed. You make me be a better man. That's one of a kind woman. She's the game changer. She's unique. She's original. She's something special, regardless of her looks and weight. She can tickle man's heart in that way that man is like, I don't know what happened to me, but I used to be a player. I want her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And so for women that are listening here and they're saying, how do I stand out as that one of a kind woman? Because I suspect most of the women here are not wanting to be in any of these other categories you've been describing, right?
Yeah. So men look at us from their perspective. So if many women want to sell themselves to a man, right? We do that. That's a normal mating, flirting game. Oh, look at my sweet, beautiful hair. Look at my boobies. Look at my shoes. Look at my purse. Look at my career. Look at my whatever, right? So we are selling ourselves to a man. That's the number one problem. When you try to sell yourself to a man, the positioning is instantly below. I'm trying to get you. You are above me. And that's what doesn't inspire men to play, to that gorilla power. Doesn't inspire him. If you think about poetry, picking up the roses, creating something fascinating, this is all created by men trying to impress us. And if when we deprive a man of that opportunity to feel himself as a gorilla, as a poet, as a savior, as an opener of jars and killers of cockroaches, whichever levels we do, if we don't do to a man to become more of him, we are plain. We are basic. Most women tell me, oh, I'm a great catch. I have my own car, I have my own place, I have my own career. That same guy that you're trying to get, he dated other women who make $80,000 or $150,000. He'd been there, and that was not enough to keep. So other women try to sell, oh, I do such a great, I'm such a sex kid, and I'm amazing. When you see me, he had a lot of amazing sexes. It's not the sex or your career or your cooking and your domesticated skills. These are all beautiful skills to have. To have good life and fun and everything. But in that original, we have a short time to make first impression. And it is like, you see a guy, breakfast material, I don't know. And then if you see him more often, then you realize he's actually really cool. But with them, they feel much faster if we are cool or we are trying to be cool. So one of a kind woman, she's not selling herself. Oh, I just got promotion and I'm so busy and oh, I just like look at my six pack. Or she's not trying. She lives in her world of magic that is very alluring to a man and he wants to come into the world. So for example, invitation to a date. A basic, typical, plain Jane woman will read the book, The Rules, and she will say, oh, if you don't invite me 3 days earlier, I will not go. And she follows the rules, which help her find a man who is trainable by her, but not impressive to her. But one of a kind woman is invited tonight on a date, and she's like, well, it's perfect. That's exactly what I need. I had a long day. I want to freshen up. I want to do something. And I really don't feel like eating because it's too late, but I want to dance. I want to see the play. I want to go to a museum. So she brings her charm. Even if it's a last minute, or sometimes the date is planned a week in advance, and she's like, no, I'm not feeling it anymore. I'm tired. Or something came up. She does not have... I'm sorry. She's totally okay to say, hey, something came up. We need to do a rain check for next week. So she's confident that when she shows up, his world becomes better. She brings out the best of him. She's not trying to sell herself. Like, oh, if I don't catch this guy, I'm going to be a loser forever. No, she's open. They share life and they share. Dating is fun. It's not like a, okay, list of questions. Why are you single? Why did you divorce? No. Do you want children? No, she has fun. First, at least 3 dates, she is bringing to the plate her joy, her passion, her power, her allure, so that he's feeling interested and he's feeling opening. Everybody can do interview. And many dating coaches, they say, figure out if he wants children on a first date, don't waste your time. It's a solid advice. Steve Harvey was very strong in that. But if you get a man to tell you if he wants children or not on a first date and not have a chance to tickle the energy between the two, the fact that he wants to have children will be without you. He will have children with somebody else. So one of a kind woman, she knows how to tickle the energy. She trusts. She's not, oh my God, the biological clock. Even if she's 39 and wants to have children, there is the energy of satisfaction, fundamental happiness. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Tell me, how does that feel to you?
Well, it feels great and it really resonates with me, because a big part of my work is helping women and supporting women in being really centered in knowing their own value. That's an intrinsic value that is not dependent upon what is or isn't happening in the outside world with any man, with any boyfriend or potential boyfriend. It's her knowing her own value intrinsically from within, and having that confidence that you're talking about to navigate the world in that way that feels true to her, that honors her feminine energy, honors her feminine spirit, and feels like she's in alignment with her values. And then the other part that really resonates with me of what you were talking about is a woman being in her joy. Because as you know, I've done these events where I've interviewed all male experts several times. And one of the things that the men have shared with me over and over again, sometimes in the interview or sometimes in our conversations before or after the interview, when they're talking about the women that they're with or the women that they've married or that they're attracted to, is they've shared that one of the things that really attracted them to that woman was seeing her in her joyful, passionate, playful state. So it can be in, it can show up in so many different ways. Like if you have a hobby or an interest or a cause that you're really passionate about, that you really care about, that really lights you up from within, these men have shared with me that that's something that's just incredibly attractive, because they see this woman in her joy, expressing her passion, and it helps get them from that feel, that thinking place, just that logical, single focus thinking.
From logical to magical.
To like you said, to
we are so magical to them.
To feeling something. It helps reconnect them with their feeling, because a lot of very masculine men, for the most part, are operating most of the time in their minds, in their brains, rather than being really connected with their feelings. So this idea of tickling the heart in the way you're describing is very descriptive. You're actually helping them feel something. So this really...
They don't know what is it about her. She's actually not my type, and I like only girls with long hair and blah, blah, but there is something about her.
Mm-hmm.
That's that.
Mm-hmm. And so the good news, I think there's a lot of good news here, but one piece of good news is that by living your life in a joyful way right now, whether or not any man is on the horizon at the moment or not, is an opportunity for you to expand your joy and expand your life in a way that is meaningful and satisfying to you. But that's also something that can help draw in the right kind of person, because he's going to be able to see you, because you've got that lit from within kind of energy about you that we're talking about, that we're describing, the one of a kind woman kind of energy.
Yes, one of a kind, because most men, if you take most women would want tall, dark, and handsome Italian millionaire, right? Yeah. So imagine tall, dark, and handsome Italian millionaire. He has been around the block a few times.
Quite a few.
Right? He tried flavors, all kind of flavors of women. He wants one of a kind.
Yeah.
Man would spend $500,000 for a Ferrari. Dream of it, wish for it, or hope for it. But they would not look after broken Honda 1998 and be like, wow. You see, there's, if we present ourselves as a broken Honda, but I'm practical, I'll take you from point A to point B. Yeah, if I don't have a car, I'll drive broken Honda. But if I can have anything I want, and it requires me to work and to save and to discipline and to focus, I want a Ferrari. Just like we want a nice purse. They want a nice purse. That's a woman who would make them look good. Not just physically. If you look at all this, whatever movie stars like Ben Affleck and his dating world right now, he has all these pretty girls around. They're not game changers. They're not one of kind. They are, bam, wham, thank you, ma'am, goodbye. Next, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do we, when we are looking for that man that we want, we need to put ourselves in his shoes. How does he see a woman? What does he see? What is his experience? And if your selling point is that you are the sexiest of them all, it's not going to work for long run. Mm-hmm. If you could tickle his heart. If you could show intrinsic value, I am one of a kind, unique diamond. I want that. Powerful men, masculine powerful men who are conquerors and who know what they want. They want a woman to match that.
That's right.
They want a unique woman.
Yeah, that's
right. We have it in us. Intrinsically, we have it. We just need to refine it. I always think about it. We need to become, at the same time, more wild and more refined. It sounds like oxymoron, but it's actually, we are not wild enough in touch with our real truth. We are programmed. And we are not refined enough to use discipline of, instead of one night stand, to kind of like space out your tempo, right? To refine our words we use towards men. To refine appreciation. What I call gold digging. I always teach my clients, dig for the gold. And they look at me like I'm, yeah, dig for the gold in the heart. There is something golden in every man. And just because he's too short, I don't want to see him again, doesn't mean he doesn't have gold. And if you want to be one of a kind, you need to train your, like instantly needs to happen, that your brain is so refined that it can dig for the gold in the heart. I have a client, she's so gorgeous, 26 or something, like super gorgeous. So everybody is no. And she's always alone. She's been single for a long time because too short, too this, too that. And she's like, I really didn't find anything good about him. I really didn't like him. He tried to kiss me. He tried this. He tried that. And I said, was he on time? Yeah, he was. He came before me. Did he pay for your food? Oh, yeah. And gave a tip and everything. Was he kind to a waiter? Oh, yes. He was very friendly, actually, and asked a waiter for something. And they had a nice conversation. Did he spread his legs all over the chair? Or there was a space for other people to walk around? Oh, no, there was a lot of space. There was everything. Did he walk you to your car? Oh, yes, he actually called me Uber and paid for my Uber. So now, can you dig some gold now? No, I really don't like him. So I train her, as I train my clients, dig for the gold. And if we can like refine our eyes, our energy will soften. we will not look at them as a prey, as an opposition, like an enemy. We will look at them as a partner. Like, wow, this was such a great time. Instead of, he tried to kiss me, he was on time, he paid for everything, he took care of me, he was really funny with the waiter, he was open-minded about this, we spoke about that. Wonderful time. I love dating. I love men, and men love me. That's a game changer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. I like that idea of looking for the gold, searching for the gold, because it's there. And even if he's not your long-term partner, I think by being able to identify and see the gold in each person, in each man, it helps you have that feeling of abundance, and it helps you to be in that place where you're able to enjoy yourself, to relax more, and you're more likely to be able to see those qualities in kind of that one-of-a-kind man that you might want to be with.
Yes. It's up to us. If you cannot dig for the gold, you will dig for the poop. I always say, bees go to flowers. Bees go to honey. Flies go to poop. If you're looking for he's not your type, you are being a fly. I've never seen a fly on a flower happily enjoying herself, but we have all seen a fly on a poop.
Right.
And then later comes to your table, right? Mm-hmm. There's no killing for the bees, the little plastic thing, because we appreciate bees. Do we want to bring gold and honey to the world when we show up? We bring what we are searching. And I remember that was my big mistake. I hated men. I believe they were wrong for this war that happened. My father was a very abusive man. I was raped, had a lot of bad experiences. So my idea was, I want to protect myself. I want to hate the world, but I want to have one man to love me. So I want to hate them all and have one to love me. And I often see variation of that in the world of dating. Women go on dates with armor, with this kind of protection and kind of hardness. When once our heart hardens, we will not be attractive to a special, unique man that we desire. They will just not resonate with us. You cannot fake it. You must soften your heart. And then when you feel like you not feel safe, then you put a boundary.
Right.
You have to clean your heart away. Just don't put a fence. Don't step on flowers. No flies allowed. Whatever you need to put. And that's our job when we go on multiple dates with men we don't like. Dig for the gold, learn your boundaries, learn your truth. And you never know, he may become your best friend, and his male best friend could be your husband.
That's right. Yeah, that was beautiful. That was very well put. And I think that it's probably causing a lot of people to really do a little bit of deep thinking. So I like your analogies and your thoughts here. So I know you have this idea of two foreign languages is what you call them. Mm-hmm. Feminize and Manglish.
Yeah. Feminine. So, like okay. Japanese, it's Feminese.
Oh, Feminese and Manglish. Okay, so tell us about those, if you would.
Yeah. So, for example, for the Alzheimer's disease, people say play crossword puzzles. That actually does not work. What works is cause a little bit of anxiety to your brain, a little bit of, that's what rewires and helps straighten the neural pathways to prevent, right? So same thing with our, how do you cause that anxiety? By learning a foreign language. If I tell you, let's say, in Croatian, This is Olovka. Can you repeat?
Olovka.
Olovka. Okay, I'm going to leave it to the side and I'm going to ask you in 5 minutes what this was.
Okay.
Don't write it down. In 5 minutes, your brain will be stressed out. That is that what causes that stress. How did you say? I know it started with O because la la, but I forgot the rest. So that trying to find rewires the brain and opens you up. And when it comes to relationships, our rewiring is learning the language that man ear can hear, mm-hmm. that can respond to instantly. If I conduct all this interview in Croatian, you would not hear me. So I have to learn English, right? Mm-hmm. So when I talk to men, I need to know their language and I need to know female, feminine language so that I can talk in a way that he can see me as a woman. You recognize me as a foreigner because of my accent. And if I fully speak my Croatian, you will definitely know she is totally not from here, right? Mm-hmm. So we want men to know that we are not from their world. Because if we are too much from their world, we become beer drinking buddies.
Right.
We become, whatever. Hey, wanna grab a beer? We are not precious. We don't hold intrinsic value. We are from that world. But when they know we are from another planet of feminine language, they want to learn and they want to figure it out. They want to conquer the dragons for us. So it's very important for us to learn that feminine language is the language of the heart. If you imagine kingdom, king sits on a king's throne, queen sits on a queen's throne. In our kingdom, between man and woman, feminine language owns the throne of feelings and heart. So when a man asks you, you want to go out to Italian restaurant, you don't say, that sounds good, or I think that will work. You say, I feel really excited about Italian. I am so happy when I eat spaghetti. Or, you know what makes me excited about Italian food? Ravioli. Oh my goodness. You see, we talk about feelings. So then later in life, when we have conflict with them, we can say, I don't feel comfortable with that. So he instantly knows she's all in her feelings and they value. So I'm going to protect her feelings, even if I need to protect her from my own peace.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
If we don't own, if we don't speak feminine, if we speak Manglish, and they think we are from their world, which in our world we just hook up and life is, tougher, then when we want to be honored for our feelings, it will be too foreign. Just like for you, you probably forgot that this is
Olivka.
Olivka. No, it's not Olive. Olovka.
Olovka.
Olovka. But you're really good, actually.
It was close.
Very close. You see, but if we don't train, this one interaction with our feelings want to be cherished will not resonate unless we own the throne of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so happy. I feel excited. I don't feel like, because like is not a feeling. I feel like Italian. Even if he says, do you feel like Italian? You say, I feel excited and sexy about pizza and pasta and macaroni. Oh, bella donna, I can't wait to get some acqua minerale. You see, you bring your joy. And that's how we speak feminine. And there is a whole, I actually talk about this in my program that I'm offering for free to your people. There is a whole video number 4 is entire communication. Manglish and feminine. And how they talk to be actually heard and connected in irresistible ways. Mm-hmm. Because everybody can connect. You feel like pizza? Yep. Everybody can connect. But irresistible connection, that's when Manglish and feminists make love.
Well, yes. And this really ties in with this theme beautifully of being the one of a kind woman, because when you are expressing yourself in this way, it gives the man clear signals as to how he can please you, what's going to please you, and he gets that reward of knowing that he's making you happy. He's not just providing you with dinner or with a pizza. He's making you happy because you feel so happy about eating Italian food, right?
And then if you use the words that are, most men rarely use the words of emotion. Mm-hmm. They don't go to their body, hey buddy, how are you? Oh, I'm feeling really excited about the flavors of today's coffee.
Right.
Woman would say that.
Right.
But a man, hi, what's up? I'm good.
Yeah, hey dude. Yeah. Hey, buddy.
So when we give them this flavor of our words, I like to use the word delicious in my dates, and most people who know me well, they say, whenever I hear the word delicious, I think of you. Because I mention it all the time. I sometimes say, I miss delicious. When I don't want to give my name and I want to tease and play, right? So that realm of feelings, I cannot just make her happy. I can make her satisfied. I can make her pleased. I can invite her to joy and excitement and fun and playfulness and deliciousness and variety. And wow, that's refreshing for the world of a regular, manglish kind of normal person, right? Mm-hmm. We show up with my sparks and my joys and my blinks and my glitter.
Yeah, and I think this comes back to something else you said, which I want to just revisit just for a second, and that is this idea of being wild and being refined. So I feel like the wild piece of this, and you can add to this if you want, but I feel like the wild piece of this is allowing ourselves to be that expressive, be that joyful, be that free to allow ourselves to just bask in whatever brings us joy and allow that to show instead of feeling like we have to hide that or that that's something we have to suppress or keep under control. That's kind of how I interpret this wild piece in part. And then the refining is knowing how to use some of these things in a rather nuanced way. Like you're talking about the way that you express something and the way you share something from a feeling place rather than just, yeah, that sounds good, or yeah, whatever.
Oh. Yeah, whatever.
Sure. I mean, it's a totally, totally different experience, not only for you because you get to feel and enjoy things on a deeper level, but it's a totally different experience in your interactions with a man. So I think these things are so important and so delicious.
Wild is like, if you think of the animal, wild tiger, he will know when he's hungry or she and go and hunt, but will not just hunt everything. We'll hunt one, the oldest probably, or the youngest, or the weakest, or the sickest animal, to maintain the quality for the future, right? There is in it, it's not just the wildness is, oh, I have the urge, so I'm not going to destroy something. I'm going to satisfy the urge with a refined way. Like a bird making the nest. She flies wildly wherever she wants, but when she's making a nest, there is a structure. They know when and how and what, and they make it really pretty. Mm-hmm. So in all of us, the freedom to sing like a bird and dance like a bird and be open. but also know when it comes to my biological clock and my nesting, this is how I will approach. I will not just be wild whenever it happens. No, I'm 22 and I will prevent this from happening, but I will still be wild, right? And in the communication, let's say we've been married for 20, 30 years, that wildness that you can just like, there is no rules. I have to cook this today, or even though structure helps, but I feel like making creme brulee for the first time and burning it on top and just make it fun. Let it. But then you follow the recipe, which is refining. Mm-hmm. And both is needed. We in this world are talking on femininity a lot. There is a lot of wildness pointing towards that. Just let it be and be wild. And then on the other side, there is this wear this and etiquette that and polite this, which is caged tiger or a circus trained tiger. Looks wonderful, looks amazing, but there is it, something is missing. Something, I just want to climb up the tree and be there without jumping through the hoops. Each woman knows her, where she works better. For me, it was easier to get in touch with my wild nature to start with, because I was none and I was tamed. So I just thought being wild is the connection to my femininity. When later on, I actually know that for me, when I watch old Hollywood or some women who I admire, they have this refinement as well. Mm-hmm. You are, in my opinion, very refined.
Thank you.
Right? But the way you and I connect privately, there is so much love in you. You are like a waterfall of love, depth. You are so deep. So that is that wildness that you have. So somebody's wildness may not be the same as somebody else's. Mm-hmm. You see? So finding our truth and presenting these both sides as they dance when needed. And usually in every given day, we need both sides to be together. Not 50-50, but we need them both to function, to feel solid, to feel grounded, to feel sexy. We need both of our own unique expression.
Mm, beautiful. Thank you so much. Well, this has just been really beautiful and really inspiring. And I just love our connection too. I mean, you and I, from the very first moment we met, we were just instant buddies, instant connection and instant rapport. And I just think you're lovely. And I think that your perspective is very unique. And I love your story because you have come through so many experiences that have taught you so much. And I think you've been able to take those experiences. And many women here listening have had difficult or challenging journeys in one way or another, myself included. You know, we all have our different paths. But the key here is that we can take all of these experiences, and we're now at the beginning of a new year, and we can create something beautiful even out of the hard or difficult or heart-wrenching experiences that we've had. And that's what I think you've been able to do really successfully. And so I really commend you for that, because you're able to take these experiences, some of which had to have been incredibly hard and incredibly painful and incredibly difficult while you were going through them, and yet you've been able to arrive in this place of love and beauty and joy, and to be able to express yourself in a way that I know is helping so many people. So I'm very grateful for you, and I'm grateful that you and I are connected, because I just think you're just sweet and wonderful and beautiful.
Delicious.
Delicious. So you mentioned already just a little bit about your free gift. I know it's a video series, but tell us a little bit more about it if you would.
It's 5 videos, and each one is teaching a little bit. It's actually a tutorial We have a little bit of flirting in the video one, then we have video two. What turns men off? Definitely, 100% of the time, and what not to do. Then we have that video that was my favorite. It's a communication. It's actual information that I teach all of my private clients. People pay thousands to get that information from me. And it's here available for free on helenasummer.com/gift.
Yeah, and you can just also click on the link underneath the video or audio because we'll connect right to that.
Beautiful. Yes.
So thank you so much for that. That's very generous. And we've just been able to tap into just the very, very little bit of what Helena has to share. So I know you're going to want to get that. So make sure you click on the link below. And also make sure you join us for the rest of the event. And be sure to check out the VIP package by scrolling down on the page as well, because you're going to want to have these conversations as a part of your library to go back and listen again, pick up the nuances and details, and there's some incredible bonuses. So Helena and I are both wishing you a lovely, lovely new year, a brand new beginning, a fresh start, a chance for love, no matter what has happened in the past, that's all behind you. And I'm so grateful for your contribution today, Helena, and we hope to see you for more of the event. So we're both sending all of you ladies out there lots of love and many blessings, and we'll see you for more of Ready for the Right Guy. Bye for now.
Bye.